Welcome to the podcast series from the 8th Educational Seminar on Migration 2021 entitled Migration in a Multilateral World, organized by the European Migration Network in Slovakia. You are listening to the lecture on maximizing the role of migrants, remittances and investment for development, presented by Mauro Martini. Mauro is the remittances and development officer in the International Fund for Agricultural Development's financing facility for remittances. For this multi-donor fund and IFAD divisions, he provides strategic, planning and program support on the topics of remittances, migration and development. He also liaises with donors, promoting new partnerships and resource mobilization. Enjoy the lecture.
Thank you very much for the nice word of introduction and for inviting me to this seminar. And a very warm welcome to all the attendees that are going to listen to this session. So what I would like to do with you during this hour is to focus on how to maximize the role of migrant remittances and investment for development and for rural security. I also would like to thank Sonia Plaza from the World Bank for the very interesting and useful session on remittances earlier this morning. I think all those details on data and how remittances and continue to flow during time of crisis due to the pandemic was extremely relevant and instrumental also for this following up presentation that is now concentrating more on the impact of remittances for development. So let me start by setting a little bit the context, and I will repeat some of the key figures and reiterate some notions, because are going to help us in this our discussion. First of all, I wanted to reiterate this number. The huge amount of remittances is $500 trillion US dollars every year to low and middle income countries. It was 540 billion of remittances in 2020. The World Bank data, despite the initial concerns about a bigger decrease of remittances, showed that they only reduced by 1.6% during COVID time in 2020, demonstrating once more the resilience of migrants and the willingness of migrants to send remittances to support their families back home. But it is also important to retain out of this figure is that indicatively half of this amount, according to our estimates, goes to rural areas where it counts the most, and IFAD has the mandate to invest and work for rural development. A second figure that I would like to share with you that I believe is extremely important is this small amount, $200. We always think about remittances as a huge amount in terms of hundreds of billions of dollars, but the real amount that counts the most for the migrants that are sending remittances, and in particular for the remittance receivers, for the families of the migrants in the countries of origin, is this amount. The average amount of a single transaction that in any case is coming in regularly 10, 12 times a year, regularly sent by the migrant to their families back home. A third aspect that I would like to keep in mind is that the remittances market, the huge remittances market, might be perceived as a niche market, but actually it involves 1 billion people in the world. One person out of 7 people in the world is either sending or receiving remittances. So remittances basically are impacted 1 out of 7 people in the world. According to our estimates, indicatively 200 to 130 million migrant workers are sending remittances to an indicative of amount of 800 million relatives, families, and friends back home. So these three key aspects are very important to be kept in mind for the continuation of our discussion. Now, let me also reiterate one aspect, the huge, the enormous importance of remittances, not only for the families of migrants and the communities of migrants that are receiving remittances, but for the entire country economy as a whole. You can see here a list of countries for which remittances are equal to more than 30% of their own GDP. This, of course, has a tremendous impact on the country's economy. And a reduction in flows of remittances that we have seen also during times of crisis might have huge impact on the whole economy. So this is why remittances are extremely important, not only for the families, but for the entire economy of the country. Now, I would like to give you a little bit of the context at international level on remittances before digging into the specifics of these this presentation. Remittances is a relatively new topic in the international agenda. The first time that remittances were mentioned in the international agenda was in relation to cost of remittances back in 2004, so less than 20 years ago at the G20 in the US. And then it increasingly became relevant in more and more international context up to very recent years. Let me just go through some of the key international commitments and topics that the international agenda has taken over the last years. Of course, we all know the target 10 points of the SDGs in 2015 by 2030 to reduce to less than 3% the transaction cost of remittances and eliminate all corridors with cost higher than 5%. This was the first time that remittances as a topic entered or as a target entered in the SDGs. Then in 2018, and it was focused on cost. Then on 2018, the international community adopted the Global Compact for Safe, Regular, and Orderly Migration. And this Global Compact for Migration has a very important specific objective, only dedicated to remittances, Objective 20, as you know, to promote faster, safe, and cheaper transfer of remittances, but above all, also to foster financial inclusion of migrants, and I would add, and the families of, and their families. And this is extremely important. We are not focusing only on the priority on the reduction of cost, which is extremely important. It has not been achieved yet, but we start focusing and we are increasingly understanding the development impact of remittances, which is linked not only to the cost of remittances, but in particular to the financial inclusion of migrants sending remittances and the financial inclusion of family of the ones that are receiving remittances. So adding additional financial services and financial products to the remittances that you are receiving is the real development impact of remittances in the countries of origin of migrants. The third international document that I would like to mention is the International Day of Family Remittances, which was unanimously proclaimed by the United Nations General Assembly in 2018. And it is now recognized and celebrated every year on the 16th of June. I will come back to this in the next slide. And then there are, of course, other international regional approaches, processes such as the G20, which was just mentioned, which incorporated the target 10 point C of the reduction to less than 3% of the cost of remittances in their commitments. Then there is, of course, the Financing for Development, the European Union, African Union La Valletta Action Plan, which has specific point on remittances and others. So remittances are increasingly becoming important and reaching the top of the agenda of the international community. With regards to International Day of Family Remittances, let me just spend, if you allow me, a couple of words about that, because we are very proud at IFAD that the day of family remittances was approved at the United Nations General Assembly level in 2018 because at IFAD we started this process. Actually, in 2015, the Governing Council of IFAD adopted the first resolution on the International Day of Family Remittances, and then together with a number of champion countries, it was brought to the United Nations General Assembly and then approved unanimously over there. Now, IFAD is running its annual campaign. This year, the campaign was on recovery and resilience through digital and financial inclusion. And more every year, we see an increasing engagement of private sector entities and international organizations and migrants, diaspora associations that are raising awareness on the huge importance of remittances and the efforts that millions of migrants are doing in supporting their family back home through remittances, to the point that in some cases, money transfer operators, remittance service providers have even reduced to zero the fee of transferring remittances during the day, 16th of June, or during the weekend following that day. So we see an increasing engagement of the private sector, and we are increasingly cooperating with the private sector in order to promote the importance and the impact of remittances in development. Moving forward, we say that remittances are indeed, there is indeed a target on SDG 10 on reduced inequalities that is targeting remittances. But remittances are contributing, we say, to all or almost all SDGs. And we have a short video that we have developed in celebration of the International Day of Family Remittances that I would like to show you, which really demonstrates this, how remittances are impacting all SDGs. And I would kindly ask the Secretariat to show the video. Thank you. The first one.
Each year, more than 200 million international migrants send almost half a trillion US dollars back to their families in developing countries. An estimated 40%, around $200 billion, reaches people in poor rural areas. This is three times more than most countries receive as official development assistance, or ODA. These remittance flows do more than just ensure the families of migrants can put food on the table and send their children to school. They also support the local economies in their communities back home. And they contribute to achieving the sustainable development goals that global leaders agreed we would reach by 2030.
Porque del dinero que nos envían, de ahí agarramos para alimentar, ¿verdad? Para comprar cerdos, para invertirlo en la finca.
Yun, inaano ko, pinamimili ko para sa mga dito sa grocery, sa tindahan, nakapagkain namin.
Io guadagnavo un po' di più. Allora ho mandato soldi, io ho due figlie a grande. E lei ha studiato bene, ha fatto computer engineering in India.
I send money back home, Senegal, to invest in social businesses, to create jobs for youth, women.
Most migrants only send home $200 or $300 a month, but the small amount of money is educating children, feeding families, building communities, and is helping to transform our world, one family at a time.
So you have heard from the previous presentation from the World Bank how both migrants and remittance service providers had to face the challenges brought by the pandemic. Actually, one of our partners, the International Association of Money Transfer Networks, in the immediate aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic, ran a survey among their remittance service provider members, and they came out with some important findings. Of course, migrants were mentioning the fact that they had an increased limited access to physical locations where to send remittances due to lockdowns, limited earnings due to loss of jobs, the difficulty to adapt to digital solutions to send remittances, and of course, health and safety risks. On the other side, remittance service providers were also facing several problems, such as, of course, the reduction of the remittances volume, which had an impact on their economy and market and incomes, and the fact that they had to close locations, limited working hours, staff isolations, and liquidity issues, and so forth and so on. So in the immediate aftermath of the COVID-19, of that COVID-19 was declared a pandemic, the United Nations Secretary General Guterres called for a global solidarity. And in his call for action, he mentioned remittances as a lifeline in the developing world. So in response to this call from the Secretary General, IFAD put together a sort of coalition, the Remittances Community Task Force, which was joined by 41 organizations that you can see on the right of this this slide, from international organizations, UN members and agencies, experts, academia, and national development agencies, and others, and private sector entities, actually networks of money transfer operators, networks of mobile companies. They all joined the Remittance Community Task Force and worked together in order to come out with a set of measures, emergency measures and short-term measures to address the challenges faced by the remittance families, so the families, the migrants that were sending remittances and their family receiving remittances in the countries of origin, to support the remittance service providers, to address those challenges, and also to support governments to tackle those challenges and be ready improve the enabling environment. The outcome of this work was the blueprint for action that was released end of last year, and it proven to be extremely relevant for the international processes, since it really strongly contributed to the work of the financing facility of the financing for development process, for instance, in the era of COVID and beyond, launched by the Secretary General of the UN together with the Prime Minister of Jamaica and the Prime Minister of Canada, working again also in this case on a set of measures to support the financing for development process in COVID times, with a specific chapter on remittances. And it is also supporting the work of the G20, currently under the Italian presidency, for instance. On the basis of this work, G20 members are developing their new templates for the national plans on remittances. So this task force, the Remittance Community Task Force, together with other actions put together and undertaken by the international community, as also mentioned by our colleague of the World Bank in the previous presentation, for instance, the UK and Swiss call to action, supported by the World Bank and others, really contributed to bring the topic of the remittances high in the agenda and to provide solutions for both remittance service providers, the private sector, and the governments on how to tackle the impact of the COVID pandemic on the remittances market. In the aftermath of the pandemic, of course, the market adapted to the new normal, to the reality, and in particular, it did that going digital, right? So the remittance service providers strengthened their digital products, which came with good consequences. So not all evil comes to harm, we can say. Indeed, there has been a switch from informal to formal. There has been, as a result of the digitalization of remittances, there are some indication of reduction of cost at withdrawal, but also at sending side. There are faster transfers. However, we should not forget that, especially in rural areas where remittances are received, infrastructures are still not there for digitalization of remittances. Receivers of remittances are not always financially savvy or digitally savvy, so they might not be able, or they might not know how to access digital remittances, and therefore cash still plays for many customers an important role, and this must not be forgotten. Therefore, the trends toward digitalization has to be supported, and we should continue to go towards that trend because it's achieving some great results. But in parallel, we still need to work on the provision of remittances through physical location, in particular in rural areas, where I would like to mention again, it counts the most. So what is IFAD approach? What is IFAD doing on this topic on remittances and diaspora investment? So let me start with our theory of change. This, what you can see here in this slide, is the remittances cycle. It is very simple. We all know that migration starts because of lack of income-generating activities. So a migrant, a person leaves the country because there is no employment opportunity, there is no possibility for income. So he goes to the country of destination, and once he's settled, the first thing that he's gonna do is to send remittances. If you ask a migrant why he or she decided to leave his or her home country, the first answer will be for better opportunity, for better life of opportunity for himself or herself. But the second, this immediate subsequent reply will be, and to support my family back home. So remittances are really this lifeline, this tie between the migrant and their families back home, that is extremely important for migrants. So when remittances occurs, here is where you can leverage their impact for development. How do you do that? Breaking the cycle. So linking remittances to additional financial services, savings, mobilizations, asset building, other income opportunities, access to credit, job creation. If it is leveraged, the cycle will stop, because people in the country of origin will have enough resources to decide if they want to stay and continue to work there or to migrate. But this will not be a forced decision. It will be their own decision on the basis of their assessment of the situation. If it is not leveraged, the cycle continues. Lack of income generating activities, migration will continue. So IFAD is working on both on the sending and on the receiving side of remittances. Here you can see the financial behavior of both migrants sending remittances on average and the family receiving remittances on the receiving side. On the sending side, indicatively, according to our estimates, 75% of the income is spent in the host country, 10% is saved in the host country, and 15% is being sent every month or 10 times, 12 times a year on remittances to their families back home. This amount is equal to a much higher amount of the income of on the receiving end. Actually, the 15% of remittances sent becomes indicatively 60% of the income of the ones receiving remittances. The other 40% is on average comes from other sources. Then, of the 60% of remittances, again, according to our estimates, 75% is spent on immediate needs, food, put food on the table, clothes, health, education, etc. 25% is either saved or invested. And on this percent is where we have the most development, the most, the biggest development impact. And it is on this percentage that we are in particular working. This slide is very dense, actually, but it's just to show you our dual approach. One approach, one pillar, is to work on the remittances ecosystem and to link remittances to financial inclusion. And therefore, we work on access to remittances with all different partners that we can find in the field in order to provide better access to remittances, in particular in rural areas. So we work with postal operators, commercial banks, microfinance institutions, mobile network operators, and so forth and so on, you name it. And then to expand the use of remittances, linking remittances to additional financial products, additional remittances financial products. So access to savings, access to microcredit, access to insurance. And then we work on the investment of migrants. So we work on the second pillar is to work on creating mechanisms, financial mechanisms to allow migrants to invest either singularly or collectively in business opportunities in their countries of origin, and then encourage entrepreneurship among the ones that are receiving remittances. We do that through five main strategic activities. The World Bank again mentioned the importance of data. Data are very relevant, are the ones that are driving actually our action in the field, and are the ones that are driving, and good data are driving also policymakers in undertaking better regulation for enabling environment. But data remittances are still, in many cases, weak and needs to be better developed. So we are working with regulators and central banks in order to improve data remittances. Increased market competition is a key aspect. If you want to reduce cost and to have more, you need to have more actors in the field, you have to increase competition. So we work in order to increase the entry point for all the actors that can work on this field. We work on enabling environment, as mentioned, so supporting national regulatory bodies and frameworks, both in sending and receiving remittances for a better enabling environment. We work on access to remittances and the use of financial services, I mentioned, with all type of partners. And we move from testing pilot methodologies to scaling up to bigger programs at scale. IFAD is the house of a facility, the so-called financing facility for remittances, an over 65 million multi-donor program. We have many donors, IFAD, Spain, the European Commission, Luxembourg, Sweden, Germany, and others. In this map, you can see where we are currently active, more than 60 projects in over 50 countries, more than 230 partners all over the world. And we work with all different kinds of partners. In this graph, you can see the different business models of the financial remittance service providers that are working in this field. We have commercial banks that are less present in rural areas in the last mile, but they can provide a very broad range of financial products and link them to remittances. And then going up to this graph and towards the left side, you can find microfinance institutions, postal networks, MTOs, online tools, fintechs, and MNOs that are more present in the rural areas, so they can facilitate better access to remittances, but they provide less financial services. So we are working towards this achievement. So to allow also those operators to provide more financial services to the ones that are receiving remittances. And this is a graph just to show you that while back 15 years If you go back 15 years, 20 years, you had mainly three big, large operators in the remittances market. You know them by heart. But nowadays, there are more and more actors entering in the remittances market and partnering, collaborating, mutually beneficially each other, and creating new methodologies of work that disrupt the whole remittances ecosystem, create a lot of competition in the market, new models that increase access point outreach, but also the provision of additional services. And what IFA does is to facilitate these developments. We leverage the funds of our donors, Elifat funds, to push new business models at the frontier and to accelerate the provision of new services, adding value to rural dwellers and to support rural transformation through remittances. I will go through now very briefly through some of our examples. Some examples of our projects that will help you understand better how we work and that provide good examples and lessons learned on how really remittances can have an impact on development if leveraged and if linked to additional financial services. So some of the partners we are working with are, for instance, mobile network operators, as I mentioned. Why that? Because they are an instrument that is extremely useful for the promotion of digital remittances and to promote access to remittances, in particular to rural areas. For instance, a couple of projects that we are working with, a couple of partners that we are working with are represented here. We are working in Malaysia, Pakistan and Bangladesh, together with Baidu, which is a Malaysian company, mobile company. And what we have done through them was to interconnect e-wallets from Malaysia together with the money mobile money operators in Bangladesh and in Pakistan. So you can send transfer remittances from the e-wallet in Malaysia to e-wallets in Pakistan and Bangladesh. And through this project, we achieved great results, actually. 100% decrease of cost of sending remittances for Pakistan is because wallet-to-wallet transfer between Malaysia and Pakistan was without any kind of fee. And a 50% decrease of cost of sending remittances from Malaysia to Bangladesh through this system. For instance, three new products related to remittances were designed, and we had over 100,000 new wallets opened on both channels. Then we have been working also in the Philippines, for instance, with another mobile company, GCash, which was using both smartphones, but also the more traditional phones in order to provide access to remittances also where internet connectivity was not present. So just receiving an SMS message on your phone with the amount sent from your relative abroad. It will allow you to go to the ATM, to go to the closest location, show the SMS, and withdraw the amount. Then we are working with postal operators also, as I was mentioning. But first, before going to postal operation, we are working also with savings and credit associations. This is an example of our work in Moldova, for instance, with Savings and Credit Association of Moldova, through which remittances were used to promote entrepreneurship. And I would like to ask now the secretariat again to show you the next video, since images are actually counting more than thousands of words. So please, can you display the second video? Thank you.
The lavender harvest has just ended in Moldova, but this year has been extra tough for farmers like Valeriu Ciorba. For the last 3 years, the 40-year-old farmer has been working these fields, earning a living by growing lavender. But a drought, a global pandemic, and the subsequent drop in money sent by family members working abroad have taken a toll on his business. In spring, when COVID-19 hit, it was difficult to farm because companies were closed and fuel and agricultural supplies were scarce. Lack of buyers had sales plummet.
După părerea noastră și ceea ce vedem discutând cu clienții noștri, pandemia de COVID în acest an a lovit destul de dur în puterea de cumpărare. O mare parte din lume se limitează în a procura doar strictul necesar. Referitor la remitențe, credem noi că și cei aflați peste hotare, datorită pandemiei, au mai puțin de lucru, se mai închid unele instituții, este mai puțin de lucru și respectiv bani vin mai puțin și bani care ar fi disponibili pentru a fi trimiși acasă, iarăși sunt destul de puțini.
When Valeriu first started his lavender business back in 2017, he did not have enough money to buy seeds, so he turned to remittances from relatives and friends abroad.
Este un colac de salvare aceste remitențe pentru noi. În momentele dificile pentru noi, ele ne salvează destul de mult. Pentru a porni o afacere sau face unele investiții la nivel de personal în Moldova, este nevoie de o sumă mare de bani.
Valeriu is one of over a million people in Moldova who rely on remittances. For some of these people, it can make up to half of their income. Remittances are a very important inflow for Moldova, especially for families and small businesses. In 2019, they represented 16% of the country's GDP.
În situația anului 2020, când pandemia a cuprins nu numai Moldova, dar toată lumea, o bună parte din populație au rămas fără venituri. Și îndeosebi în agricultură, care pentru anul 2020 este destul de greu, că nu numai pandemie, dar s-a abătut asupra populației și o secetă colosală, care oamenii au mari pierderi.
Accessing remittance services is usually challenging for rural families, and COVID-19 has made this situation even harder. In 2020, a project funded by the International Fund for Agricultural Development, or IFAD, and implemented by the Moldova's National Commission for the Financial Market, enabled farmers to receive remittances through local savings and credit associations, known as SCAs. This new remittance service is particularly convenient for farmers like Valeriu who live in remote areas and cannot afford to take time out from work to travel to big cities to access funds. In addition, SCAs can now use remittances as a reliable collateral so that farmers have the necessary guarantee to obtain a loan. These services allow farmers like Valeriu to keep their businesses afloat.
Cunoaștem cu toții că pentru întreprinzători din agricultură, guvernul a acordat careva subvenții, însă ele sunt destul de mici, însă sunt o bună parte din clienții noștri asociații care nu au întreprindere deschisă. La noi, de la bun început, împrumuturile, adică sunt diferite pentru angajații în agricultură, sunt cu un procent mai mic.
To counter climate change effects, improved access to finance is key to helping small farmers like Valeriu recover from shocks in the medium to long term. By promoting better access to remittances and remittance-backed loans, IFAD supports rural people's resilience and ultimately support their businesses' growth.
Thank you. So as mentioned, remittances as a collateral for entrepreneurship, as a collateral to get access to credit. Then we are working also with postal operators, of course, and post offices. Why that? Because in rural areas, post offices are more than other remittance service providers, are a physical access which is familiar for the rural people to enter and to get a first experience of a financial services. So we have been working with postal operators across Africa, in Uganda, in Madagascar, Senegal, Ghana, Benin, in order to allow postal operators to provide remittance services and access to savings, to the ones that are receiving remittances, especially in rural locations. And through those projects, we managed to achieve also some very good results. Posta Uganda, for instance, got the license to work as a super agent for remittances in Uganda, and they are now delivering remittances to rural population across their entire network of post offices. And we experienced also some good results in terms of reduction of cost of sending remittances through post offices in those countries. Then another aspect that I wanted to highlight and show you another very brief video is about a project that we have UAE, United Arab Emirates, working with insurance companies. This project will show you how remittances can be very useful linked for migrants and their families back home if you link them to insurance products. And I will kindly ask the Secretariat to show this last video. It's the third one. Thank you.
Every year, over 200 million migrants around the world send in excess of $500 billion to their families back home in developing countries. These funds guarantee access to basic daily needs, such as health services and education, and the hope of a better future for their children. The current health crisis and its impact on employment and reduction in remittances has not only confirmed the crucial importance of these flows, but also highlighted their vulnerability. But the realities of these migrant workers are not measured in the millions being sent around the world, but on the $300 being sent home on a regular basis.
I'm Marvin Lutaya. I'm from Uganda. The funds that I send back home, I used to pay for my sister's education. They're all under me, so I have to fund their education as well. I have a sick mom, and my dad is getting old, so that's a lot of responsibility to me as well. Due to this pandemic, no one knows what will happen. But the fact that I've got insurance with me, I'm at ease. You know, I'm at peace. Life moves on smoothly. I will definitely come back to use HelloPesa to send money back home. Because definitely in 15 minutes, they have the money. By the click of their hand, they have the money on their mobile phone. So it's easy for me, and I love their services. I want my family to stay strong due to this pandemic we're in. I'll do everything I can in my possible ways to send them back money, to keep them funded, to keep them going on. They'll be having a better life, they'll be happy, and I'll also be happy when they're happy, and I'm fine. I want them to be fine.
Marvin is not alone in his worry. According to a study in 2018 made in the UAE, and not being able to send money back home was the most cited concern among the participants. Simple insurance products such as personal accident, life, healthcare can alleviate easily this concern. However, the problem is not the insurance product, but the ability to educate and engage with the clients during the distribution of them. Today, our partners, RISE and HelloPaisa, are playing a very important role on this. Educating the clients on the benefits of having this type of insurance is key. During these difficult times, we have also added the teleconsultation as a benefit so that our insurers can receive a medical consultation from their homes by just using their mobile phones.
My name is Loarni. I'm very happy that I'm covered by this insurance, especially this is happening right now, like we have the coronavirus, these uncertain times. We don't know what's going to happen to us. So it's very important we're sending regularly money to the Philippines to our loved ones. I would like to tell for my two boys that they don't have to worry about me here. I'm safe, I'm protected with the insurance. So I'll be sending regularly money to them. Subscribing is so easy. It's just in the mobile application, and I'll definitely gonna buy this one for my family back home.
Looking at ways to overcome these barriers, IFAD extended a grant to ADA, an inclusive finance NGO that partnered with Democrats to provide insurance to migrants in the Gulf and their families back home via remittance channels. In the UAE, we have worked with money transfer operator HelloPaisa, inclusive fintech RISE, and insurance powerhouse AXA to create simple and cost-effective ways to allow migrant workers to access insurance and redeem claims simply using their mobile phones. Thanks to the power of technology, we have been able to provide affordable and accessible insurance to migrant workers in the UAE and their families back home.
The stories we've just heard are only a few among the millions of migrants around the world, supporting families and entire economies back in their home countries. The UAE is one of the largest remittance-sending countries in the world. Through meaningful partnerships such as these, we can work towards closing the protection gap and create accessible financial products to form an ecosystem that supports financial inclusion.
So this was an example on how also remittances can easily be linked to insurance products that will help sustaining both the migrants sending remittances and their families back home, and keep the money flowing also in times of crisis or if an accident happens. So this is these are all examples on how linking remittances to additional financial products, you will really increase and leverage the impact of this money, these flows for the development, not only of the families receiving remittances, but of the entire community and the country as a whole. Then, if you allow me two more minutes, I'm going to just brief you about a current program that we have in Africa, which is called the Prime Africa, the Platform for Remittances, Investment and Migrant Entrepreneurship in Africa. I will be very brief, but we are working in the countries that you are looking here, seeing here, and we have been launching call for proposals to work with private sectors in all of those countries. So we will soon start new projects and initiatives with private sector companies in Senegal, Gambia, Ghana, Morocco, Uganda, and Kenya. And we have also, in particular, launched regional initiatives and are providing direct technical assistance to the governments and the regulators in order to improve the enabling environment on remittances in this particular context. This is an initiative in partnership with the European Union, and it will run for four more years. So you will see, hopefully, and hear about that in the coming months and years as well. And therefore, just to finish on impact assessment, as also mentioned by Sonia Plaza of the World Bank, remittance is not the only financial instrument in the hands of migrants to support the development of their countries of origin, but they are also investing directly in business opportunities back home, either singularly or collectively. What we do at IFAD is to put together or set up financial instruments that will allow migrants to invest in small and medium or micro businesses back home, in particular in the agro business. So we three very brief examples, one in Somalia, where we set up a seed capital investment fund, and we managed to leverage over $1 million US dollars on diaspora capital from Somali abroad, and invested in small and medium enterprises in the agro system in Somalia. Another one is a crowdfunding platform in Mali. So Malian diaspora invested in small and micro businesses of rural youth in Mali, just putting very small amounts. And there is this crowdfunding online platform that show you the different projects to be financed, and you can finance. And it's not a grant. You lend some money, then you have a return of your amount, and then you can invest again in another project. And then another example is a collective diaspora investment in agribusiness that we run in the Philippines with the Filipino diaspora. And this proved to be very successful to the point that it was extended. It started from the Filipino community in Italy, but then it expanded to several countries, particularly in the Middle East. And every year, every Filipino investment still has over 6% of our annual return of its investment that was invested in a number of agri-based cooperatives in the Philippines. So those are just other examples. And let me finish with saying that those models actually work. More of those models are needed, and then they are being currently scaled up by IFAD through broader regional and national programs, among which, for instance, the Prime Africa Initiative that I just mentioned. Let me just conclude with our last point, which is the fact that IFAD, as you probably know, is the organization behind the Global Forum on Remittances, Investment and Development, which is organized biannually, actually, in June usually, which is also recognized and promoted by the Global Compact of Migration in its Objective 20 as a platform where all the different sectors can meet, discuss, and exchange on the challenges, the new trends and opportunities on the remittances market. And above all, to create synergies among them in order to address the main challenges and take advantage of the opportunities that the remittances market is giving, to the benefit, of course, of migrants and to the benefits of their families back home. So with that, I would like to conclude my presentation. Thank you all for listening to me.
This lecture was part of the EMN Educational Seminar on Migration entitled Migration in the Multilateral World. The seminar is organized by the International Organization for Migration Slovakia as the coordinator of the Slovak EMN National Contact Point. This activity is funded by the European Union and co-funded by the Ministry of Interior of the Slovak Republic. Thank you for listening.